Here we are in January, a new year, 2023. Who'd have thought? I can't believe how fast 22 went by. Thank you, Barney, for giving me the opportunity to speak today. It's truly an honor, and great that you would feel comfortable to reach out and allow me to teach in your place. But as we look at 2023, what do we look forward to? One of the things that my wife and I do every New Year's is to sit down and write some goals, some things that we would like to see accomplished. We start with 10-year goals, and we work back to 5-year goals, and then we do what do we want to do this year specifically. And, you know, we have vacations that we want to save for, or improvements around the house, or conferences that we want to attend, people that we want to visit, where do we spend our time, where do we spend our money, where do we spend our charitable donations, etc. And I'd like to look at things a little bit differently, and therefore this year I'm also going to do some spiritual goals, some things that we would like to do on a regular basis. And in order to do what I believe is our calling, which is to be witnesses to principalities and powers, mights and dominions in heavenly places. That's a tall order. I mean, think about it. Here we are, this lowly piece of dust created from the earth by the Creator, and then there's these other created beings that, as Ron has been teaching us, are these angels, these creatures that have incredible power, and we're supposed to be witnessing to them. So what would that look like? And if it's not just the principalities and powers, what about our neighbors? What about our friends? What about our family? What about those that we should just randomly meet on the street and we do some act of kindness for that says, hey, you're different, and I would like to know more about why you're so happy or what the hope is within you, as it says in Peter. And so today I'd like to make this as interactive as possible. The more you work, the less I have to. So that's just a precept of me being lazy. And so I'd like you to use the chat function to communicate with everybody out there. I won't relinquish the mic because I may never get it back. And so I'm going to read a passage in Scripture, and then what I'd like to do is have you respond to the questions that I ask so that everybody else can see what you're thinking. And now you need to be quick at this, okay, because we don't have all day. And you know how fast Tony is at typing, because he posts all this stuff. So can you beat Tony with the response? That'll be interesting. Or maybe beat Chip, or maybe beat Chico. I mean, these guys are pretty fast in their responses. So are you faster than they are? And so let's start off. Let's see how this goes. It may not go over very well. If not, well, I guess you'll just have to listen to me instead, which I'm trying to save you from. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to cover four things that I plan on working on, but it'll be interesting to see what you plan on working on based on reading four passages of Scripture. And the way I'm looking at this is, can I start the year off with one goal a week to do something and have behaviors that would witness to others? So that's the objective. Okay. Let's start in Colossians 1:10. Colossians 1:10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So now, as you think about this passage, what one thing might you do? What behavior would you like to be witness of? And just put in the chat, you know, is it to be fruitful? Is it to increase in knowledge? Is it to be patient? What one thing would you like to say, I want to be a good witness of this to others? Okay, there we go. Look at that. See, Ron beat Tony. Ha, ha, ha. Tony says, walk by example. You know, you have right there at the beginning, walk worthy unto the Lord, unto all pleasing. So since it seems like a couple of more of you want to play this game, good, Nick, thank you. Know when he wants me to speak or not. Rejoicing. Okay? As you look at that verse, are there others? I don't like suffering. Good. But long-suffering with joyfulness. That's a topic that's a study in itself, isn't it? How do you do that? I mean, how in tribulation, how in enduring can we be joyful? Tough in all of it. So my goal, and I'm just going to tell you what I'm trying to do here, is to walk worthy unto the Lord, unto all pleasing. So let's take a look at that. Let's dissect this a little bit. Let's do some right division here. And let's take a look at the first word that comes up, and that's the word walk. It's peripateo. It means to tread around. It's a way of saying your life or to live, to walk about. And so as we think about walking about, walking round about, our walk, our way of life is what people would witness. But it's unto all pleasing. So who's pleasing? So let's keep looking and dissecting this. So the word worthy here is the word axios, and it means appropriately, or worthily, a godly sort. If we keep going down, it says unto all pleasing, but it also talks about being fruitful. And the word fruitful has to do with being fertile or fertile ground, to bear fruit or bring forth fruit. So is our walk bringing forth fruit? Would someone say, wow, look what that's producing. Look at how that person's actions are producing positive results for the Lord. The word for work there is ergon, and it means labor. It means an act or toiling. We go to work every day. We toil, some in the soil, some in people's mouths. But this work is a good work. It is a fruitful work, therefore. And as part of that, it tells us to increase in the knowledge of God. And so the word knowledge there is a word that we've studied many times before, epignosis. It means not only knowledge, but it means an acknowledgement, a complete discernment, very much experiential. We also see there that this is according to his glorious power and might, strengthened with all might and his glorious power. That word is the word dunamis, and it literally means force, a miraculous power. It means strength. So we have all of this together that would tell us that to walk worthy is not going to be easy. It's going to take patience and long suffering, but it's unto pleasing. And the question is, pleasing to whom? Who are you trying to please with your walk? The challenge I have is thinking to myself, am I pleasing myself or am I pleasing the Lord? Am I pleasing my friend? Am I pleasing my spouse? Who am I trying to please? And the answer should always be that I want to be able to please the Lord. And so as I think about what am I going to do different this next week, how am I going to act, what behaviors will others see What might I do to walk worthy unto pleasing? And some of the answers are right there in front of us. It says increasing in the knowledge of God. So what could I do to increase in the knowledge of God? Well, maybe I'll read 30 minutes every day. I actually read closer to an hour, but maybe I should be reading another 30 minutes. Maybe I should pick up the book of Colossians and read the entire first chapter and dissect it instead of just one verse or two verses, as the case is. So what might you do to change a behavior or create a new behavior? It takes at least 3 weeks to eliminate a bad behavior. It takes another 3 weeks to replace it with a good behavior. I'm asking you to create a new behavior for a week, but then do it, continue to do it for the entire month. And so just as an example, my wife Kathleen has taken up a 30-day challenge. And that 30-day challenge is to go without Starbucks. And I'm here as a witness to tell you that she's made it through 8 days already. And I'm very, very proud of her. Why do I bring that up? Because it's inspiring to see somebody do something that's hard to do, something that they've done for a long time, and now they're going to give up. They're going to go without and change. You know, what does Starbucks do? Well, it's caffeine, it's sugar, et cetera, and she's doing without those kinds of things. And so very, very inspiring to see that. What will I do as a result of that? So instead of a 30-day challenge, I'm giving you a 7-day challenge to walk worthy unto the Lord, unto all pleasing. So thank you for all of your responses. I may not read all of them out loud, but you have everybody else there that's reading these as well as we go through these. So what are we going to do in week two? Week two, we're going to start with Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of his children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. According to the good pleasure of his will. So, what would you, as you look at this verse, what would you say in week two of this month? What am I going to be a witness of? What things there are you going to create behaviors around so that others might see that you are working definitely on a specific goal and getting closer to it? You can't say that you're working on being chosen because you already are. It's interesting that we were, in fact, chosen before the foundation of the world. Ron says, witness of Christ and the mystery of the body, good. speak well of God and his dealings with me, good. Any others? It's your chance to, Tony, come on. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Speak of right division. I like that, Tony. I like all of them. So what I thought about specifically to this verse is to be holy and without blame. And what we know holy means, it means to separate ourselves. So to separate ourselves from the world. Now, does that mean I'm going to become a hermit? Well, we kind of are with this dumb pandemic. And I spend more time on a Zoom call in my office than I do out and about still. Fortunately, not having to wear a mask any longer when I am out. But how can I then demonstrate that I am not of the world, that I am focused on things above, on those spiritual blessings instead of things of the earth? So let's take a look at the right division in looking at the Greek of this verse. First off, we have spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The word heavenly places there is the Epiranus. It is not the heaven or the sky above us. It is not the canopy. It's the heaven above heavens. Ron has talked about that multiple times, even today. This is far above our heavens, to a point that our telescopes probably can't reach, or at least wise we don't know that they have reached, and so we have the upper anus. It says that we are chosen, and the word there is to select, to be chosen out, and that's kind of exciting. I mean, let's think about it. The fact that we were chosen before the foundation, before the earth was created, before the casting down of Satan, we were already in the mind of the Lord and chosen for a purpose, the purpose of his goodwill. The word before here has to do of in front of. And I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to be asked to come to the front of the line for some reason. Maybe you were in school and it's the lunch hour and you were given some special privilege to come to the front of the line, go first. And that's what this means, is to be superior or above and therefore before. But we have the foundation of the world, and the foundation here is exactly what we just said. It's the casting down or the throw down. It's catabolic. It is before the conception, and it states that, therefore, by implication, this was before the casting out of Satan from heaven, before sin entered into the world, therefore. So, Tony, thank you for your notes there. So a key point here is to be holy without blame. Well, if you were chosen, if you were chosen before others, you know, chosen before Noah, chosen before Adam, chosen before Abraham, before Moses, before Paul the Apostle, we were chosen before all of these. That's a pretty big honor. And if we are honored in that way, how should we act? What behaviors should we demonstrate so that we are without blame? And I'm going to make an analogy to sports. If you're a first-round draft choice, you are the number one pick. What does that mean for you? It means that you're in the spotlight. And if you're in the spotlight, people are going to see every single behavior. Unfortunately, with sports figures, what we see is all the bad things that they do. That's what the media reports. It doesn't really talk much about the good things that they do. Occasionally, you will hear some things. But a lot of times it's not your first round draft choices that we're seeing the behaviors of. It's people that are from the sixth and seventh round that they're touting because of the charitable donations and things of that nature. But if we're chosen before the foundation, and we were chosen because of his good pleasure of his will, it's for his pleasure, like we read in the previous verse or previous passage in Colossians. And so how will you act given the fact that you are special? How will you act knowing that you have spiritual blessings in heavenly places? How will you be holy and without blame? So that was a question that you might want to interact by engaging in. There we go. Be thankful. Great. I am told that behavioral scientists have realized that if we are thankful and verbally thankful for three things when we wake up in the morning, before we get out of bed, we will have a much better attitude. It releases chemicals in our brain that give us a much more positive attitude before we ever step out of bed onto the cold tile floor. In my case, typically littered with scorpions. So I have to be thankful that I don't have any scorpions. I have to be thankful for the fact that I've got a tile floor and it's not a dirt floor. Instead of thinking of the negatives, what are the positives that I can be thankful for? Thankful for seeing another sunrise, especially here in Arizona, right, Chico? You have a tremendous eye for the camera to be able to take these. I love the different photos that you've taken and videos of lightning and storms that we see, and yet we're safe within that. So, good. Love them. Okay, we're on to week three, and we're right on time here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So from that passage, what goal might you want to have so that your behaviors would demonstrate that you, in fact, are trying to do something different, to be a good witness? Who can beat Tony to the answer? Humility, yeah, lest any man should boast about the grace of being saved. Thankful, yes. Or thankful. I think we've nailed it. Humility. So the goal that I've set for myself is to walk unto good works, that my walk is evidence of works. It goes back to what we read in the first passage about walking worthy. In this case, specifically, good works. And so what might those be? Let's dissect this verse first. Let's rightly divide this work. It says, by grace are ye saved through faith. The word there, grace, is the word charis, it has to do with graciousness. It has to do with a benefit or a favor or a gift, something that we should be thankful for, something that we should joy over. Being saved through faith, just as Abraham was saved through faith, it was a gift. Grace extends a long ways. And a long ways back. It is a gift. That word, doron, is a present, some type of a sacrifice or offering that we have. Again, we have the word work, which is ergon, which we already talked about. It has to do with labor or toil. We have the word workmanship, that has to do with the product or the fabric of something that's created. We have the word created, which I just mentioned, to fabricate, and we know that we have a creator, and he has manufactured, created us from the dust of the earth, as he did at Adam. We have the word to prepare or to ordain, and we have the word peripateo again, which is to walk, which we mentioned earlier, to tread around, to be occupied with, and so we should be occupied with good works. Those good works are the fruit of the work that we do. We're going to see that workmanship come to fruition. What would demonstrate that? What would demonstrate that we are walking in good works? Well, first off, to be thankful for the grace, I think, would be part of it. Thank you, Mike, for obedience. excuse me. And as we think about the things that he has done for us, that these are pre-planned, and prepared for us, we should show it. We should demonstrate it in everything that we do. I like that, Lydia. What work he has started in you, he will complete. That it's not you or all you, and it is within him. So, you know, as I look back on my life and I look at 2022 and before that, you know, what does my life show so far? What good works have I done, or has Christ done through me? And therefore, what goals should I be setting today that I want to accomplish to demonstrate that I have, in fact, done good works? And I think the things that you have mentioned here are, in fact, keys to be able to increase in the knowledge of him and in him, obedience to his word, even though it's uncomfortable at times, being separate. Yes, humility. Thank you. So as you think about week three, to start doing some of those things, or to continue doing some of those things as you may, have already done. All right, week four. And we're going to conclude with week four. We won't go beyond that. Next time I get a chance to teach, maybe we'll do, more than that. Maybe we'll do the next 4 weeks. So Ephesians chapter 2, the context of my next goal, and hopefully yours, Ephesians 2, verses 15 through 24, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that we might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that are nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. And so as that is context, verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom we are also built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So using that as a context, what might you say you would want to be a witness of to others based on this passage? Not on other passages through the Scripture, but based on this one passage, Ephesians 2:15 through 22, what would you think might I do to demonstrate to others that I have set a goal for myself? So Tony's busy posting, but he still is first. Having the indwelling of the Spirit. Good. Like that. I'm part of that which is more than myself. Nice. Knowing that we are part of a building that's fitly framed together. And ding, 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 ding. Chico, that's exactly what I chose. I chose the goal to be framed together, growing into a holy temple. And what does that mean? Well, you've got to tear this verse apart again. You've got to rightly divide it to understand what it means to be fitly framed, what it means to grow, and to come together. Ron says, seeing no difference in people. It's true. We want to use those diversities of people to better grow as an organization. You take different materials and put them together to build a house. It's not all brick. It's got to have mortar. It's not all brick and mortar. It's maybe some wood and some concrete as a foundation. So as we think of all these things that come together for a building, what things do we have to do to come together to be to show that growth, as an organization? Barney says, edify others with words and action. I think the both of those are necessary, especially our actions. So as we rightly divide this, and we see the different words here, it says having abolished. The word abolished there is katagio, and it has to do with doing away with, destroying, and bringing it to naught, to make void. So these commandments, these ordinances, are things that we should throw away. They are not part of the growth of this organization or this building that we are creating. For us to go forward as the body of Christ, we have to stop trying to be Jews and following those commandments, because our grace are we saved. And therefore, not doing those rituals, but instead, Lydia, thank you, building up others, edifying others. And so as we come together, and it talks about the opposition, the enmity, it's hatred. The death is the conclusion that the law brought us to, because we can't follow these commandments. And so death was our only option until by grace are we saved through faith in Christ Jesus, who died for us. We have these ordinances or decrees, they're civil laws, it's all the same. We are beyond that, and should demonstrate to others that we are beyond that. And so we have the opportunity to become a new man, therefore making peace, no longer enmity. We are brought closely together, which is the word sunarmogio, and I'm sure that Mike is going to take exception to my enunciation there. Pronunciation, but it means to organize compactly, to be fitly framed together. Are we fitly framed together? I know that we are across this entire nation, and maybe there are others on this planet that are listening to us, but are we closely knit together? We have texting, we have email, we have Zoom. The distances should not be something that would cause us not to come together. We have opportunities and technology to use that we can. But we're supposed to grow up. We're supposed to increase. We have 27 people listening right now. There were actually 37 on the earlier listening to Ron, which is an outstanding number of people that we can grow together with. And so as we think about behaviors, well, what behaviors would people notice? Well, first off, that we are not involved in rituals. We don't need daily sacrifices. We have Christ who sacrificed himself once and for all. We're not looking for a mediator through the priesthood, but instead we have Christ as our only mediator. And we are a new creation. As a new creation, we should demonstrate to others that we are new, that we aren't living out behaviors from the past, but are a new structure that will continue to grow. When a building is created, it doesn't have the ability to grow, but we have the ability to add on to that building a new addition, a new patio, something from landscaping to make it a better habitation. And that's what we should be thinking about as we think about our group, our organization, or organizations that have come together, is how are we fitly framed together? How are we growing? How are we becoming a better temple for Christ? And I use that term loosely. And how do we improve our communication to edify each other, to become a better habitation? Chico, I like that. Esteem others better than ourselves. Lydia to praise, provide thanksgiving for the work that Christ gives us access to. Important piece. You know, we are not all called to do the same work. I'm looking at the potential of retirement in the next few years and, you know, wondering what will that look like. So as I create my 5-year goals, my 10-year goals, what will I have done? What will I have accomplished, and where will I accomplish it? Is it going to be with the homeless? Is it going to be writing for a different organization? Will it be writing that has some spiritual value? All of these things are considerations. All of these things are goals that would witness to others. So with that, I'm going to conclude, and we'll open the mic here in a moment. Let me close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you are guiding and leading us, that you are the shining light that we look to, that brings light out of darkness. And as we open our eyes each day and see the sunrise, that we are thankful that we get to see another sunrise, but also what can we do? What can we do to be a shining light and not hiding under a bushel basket or under the bed or in our homes, but instead being a shining beacon and an image of you that others see and ask, why are you acting that way? What is the hope that's in you, and how can I get access to that? Well, the answer is they can get it through his word. Better understanding, increasing in his knowledge, walking worthy, all these things that we've talked about today. And so, Lord, we are thankful that you bring your word to our mind, that you bring us individuals that can help us to better understand that word, like Ron and Barney and Chico and Tony and Al and all others who are on the speaking circuit here. We appreciate each and every one of them. So, Lord, thank you for that, and we pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.